Now we're holding on page Yud Ches in Psachim Ois Lamed Zayin. By the way, I forgot to mention an interesting point yesterday when we talked about the way that people would eat the Korban Pesach indoors, because we said Gagin Valdias Lo Niskadru, and then they'd go on the roof to say hallo. There's a vort on that that says that's one reason why we open the doors by Shvoi Chamos. We all know the other reasons, because we're welcoming Aliyah on Novi and to show that it's Leil Shimurim, but there's also an interesting explanation that it's a zecher of that, where they would open the doors to go outside to say hallo, and therefore we do it right at that point in the Seder. Anyway, so Oislam and Zion. So we started learning yesterday about the relationship between the Eibishter and the Jewish people, which we know is often compared to the relationship of a husband and wife. So how they're right now we're still like a kala during the Eirusin. Eventually we're going to be like a kala during the Nisuin. And we mentioned the pasuk Ani Choyim of a Shodai Kamigdolis, where the mother, the Malachim, the Pamalia Shamaila are saying maybe the Jewish people aren't ready for Geula, and we say no, we absolutely are. We have a wall, we have towers, we have everything. So now, continuing on that topic of the Milas of the Jewish people, Amar Rav Zutra Bar Trubya Amar Rav, my dichtiv, what does it mean? A pasuk in Tehillim, Asher Bonenu Kintiim Megudolim Minurehem, that our sons are like plants that are grown in their youth. So what does that mean? So that refers to the young Jewish men who have not yet tasted the taste of Aveira. Meaning, in a chet, Aveira, in Gemara terminology often means nus. So unlike young men in most other cultures, where by the time they're of age, they've already had that. Jewish boys don't until they get married, Taka. So Kintiyim actually says then they're like plants, they're like young plants that have not yet gotten wound or broken or whatever, the same way they're still perfect. Marshall also adds the point, the same way as, for example, a young lady who hasn't yet gotten married can be called a naira, the same way a young man who hasn't yet had relations can be called a nair. So therefore, Binu Rehem suggests the point that they still have that youthful innocence. In fact, Ben Yoyada expands on that. He says the vort is, they're Megudolim, they're fully grown, they're full adults, and yet they're still Binu Rehem, they still have the innocence of their youth. Then the pasuk continues, B'nei Senu Chizavios, our daughters are like the corners, Mechutavos, that are carved out, Tavnis, so what does that mean? Why are we comparing the daughters to corners? Eilu B'nei Yisrael, Sha'odris Pischei and the Baalei. And this refers to the young Jewish women, the married women, that is, who close, or unmarried, as we'll see, two different explanations, who oigdos their openings for their husbands. So Rashi says two explanations. One is, like the young men we just said, they don't go and commit znus before they're married. They wait to have relations until they're married. So they're tying it up and waiting until they get married to their husbands. Or the second explanation, Rashi says, so according to that explanation, oigdos means tying up, like when you bind up, when you oigd the lulav. The second explanation, Rashi says, is Oigdos is Meloshin Magidos. They tell about their openings, meaning when they have Pischei Nida, when they have a flow of Nida, they tell it to their husbands, even though they have tremendous Taiva, they would like to be able to continue being with their husbands, but they know it's Osir, and they inform their husbands, even though they could easily conceal the fact. So therefore, they're being compared. So what's the comparison to V'cheinu Omer? And so the pasuk says, Molu Kamizra Kizobius Mizbeach. We find that in different pasuk where the young Jewish men and women are compared to, they'll be filled like the bowls that are used to catch the blood of the korbanos, like the corners of the Mizbeach. So what's the comparison? Rashi explains, we're saying over there the word umalu in connection with the word zobius, in connection with the corners of the mizbeach. So in other words, even though these women are full of taiva, nevertheless, they don't give in to that taiva, they hold themselves back until the appropriate time. Tosfos, which is not printed here in Ein Yaakov, but it's printed in the Gemara, makes a different point. The zobius, the corners of the mizbeach, are constantly full of blood because they sprinkle or daub the blood of the korbanos on them. The same way, following Rashi's second explanation, that oigdos pischei and the baalein means they're sure to tell their husbands when they're nida. So therefore, that's the comparison with the zobius and mizbeach that are full of blood. so that there, thus the pasuk v'neisenu kizavus. Marsha makes another point also. The Gemara tells us in the Zvachim that the kronos, the horns of the Mizbeach, were hollow. The Gemara learns it over there from a pasuk. So the same way, in other words, they're hollow. They're like, so to speak, waiting to be filled, but they're waiting until the appropriate time. So the boy saying mehacha, or you also have the next pasuk after Asher Banenu Kintiyim Megudal Minoreim continues Mizavenu Meleim. Our corners are filled. Mefikim Mizan Elzan. They give out from one type to another. Seinenu Ma'alifos. Our sheep are giving birth by the thousands. Merubavis B'chotiseinu. There's tens of thousands of them in our suite. So we see also Mizavenu Meleim. We see the same connection between Zavias and Meleim, between the corners of the Mizbeach and being filled. So that's another point, that the daughters are being compared to Zavias, that they're full of taiva, and nevertheless they hold themselves back. And when the pasuk finishes, that same pasuk that we quoted before, Asher Bonenu Kinetiyim, it finishes off. It says, V'neisenu kizavias mechutavis tavnis heichel. So literally that means mechutavis carved out tavnis heichel in the form of the heichel, but it means elu ve'elu. The pasuk is telling us both these and those, the boys and the girls, who are tzniistic and act in that appropriate way, male alana kosikil nibna heichel b'yemein. The pasuk considers it as a schus for them, as though the heichel was built in their times. Tavnis, meloshin binyan. So mechutaves, they're made in such a way, tavnis heichel, that they accomplish the building of the heichel. Marshall also explains the word tavnis can also mean like the image of. It says the image of as though the heichel was built in their days. Why is that? So why dafka the heichel? The Rif makes a point that, the Eitz Yosef makes a point, wherever you have Geder Erva, wherever you have people holding themselves back from Arayas, there you find Kedusha. The Heichel is the ultimate place of Kedusha, therefore, when they're holding themselves back from Erva, then it's considered as though the Bismikdash was built in their days. Ion Yaakov mentioned another point as well. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, ever since the Beis Mikdash was destroyed, who really gets the tam bia? Only the Oivra Avera, only the people who are doing it against the Torah. But here we're saying that people hold themselves back and they don't want to enjoy that taiva that they would have doing it by Avera. So therefore, it can be considered as though the Beis Mikdash was built in those days, as though the Beis Mikdash was never destroyed for them. In other words, that tam bia was taken away from them. Okay. More on the topic of relations between husband and wife, and therefore, and that as a metaphor for the relationship between us and the Eibishter. So now that, and we mentioned the pasuk before from Hosea, Kikri Ishi v'lo Sikri li Oid Bali, that Hashem says that lost lover, you'll call me Ishi and not Bali, where Bali, we said, suggests more of a dominant relationship, whereas Ishi suggests more of a co-equal relationship, and then so forth. So now the Gemara is going to bring the whole background for how Hosea came to say this Nevuah in the first place. So starting off, the pasuk is Dvan Hashem Shahoya El Hosea V'Gomer. Hosea is the first of the Terei also. So the pasuk says that he received Nevuah from Hashem. Bimei Uziyahu Yosam Achaz Yechizkiyahu Malchi Yehuda. During the reigns of these four kings of Yehuda, these four successive kings of Yehuda. So the Perek Echa Misnabu Abar Nevi'im. There were actually four Nevi'im who said Nevuah during that period, because we find not only by Hosea, we find also by Amos. And also by the Gemara is going to give the list over here. Hosea, Yeshaya, Amos, and Micha. By all of them, it says that they said Nevuah during this period. By Hosea, it mentions these four Nevi'im. By Amos, it also mentions these four things. I mean, by Amos, it also mentions them. By Yeshaya, it also mentions them. By Micha, to be exact, actually, it doesn't mention Uziyahu. It only mentions that Micha was Bimei Yosam Achaz Yechizkiah. Nevertheless, there's actually a note inserted in Rashi in the Gemara that says, What it was is Uziyahu, we know, famously got saras. He went into the heichel. He got the idea that it would be honor, that it would be an honor to Hashem for he as the king to go and bring Torah to Hashem. So he goes into the heichel to do that. The kohenim confront him, and all of a sudden saras breaks out on his forehead, and he has to rush out of there as fast as possible. And he remained in Mitzurta for the rest of his life. His son Yosam served as acting king during that time. Actually, the Gemara elsewhere mentions actually that Yosem was based on the numbers that you find in the Pesukim over there. It turns out that Yosem was actually conceived when Uzziyahu was already a Metzora. The Gemara learns from that a Metzora is allowed in Tashmish HaMitta. But, anyway, the point is when Yosem grew up, he served as acting king in place of Uzziyahu because he's stuck outside the city as a Metzora. The Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin the tremendous kibbutz av that Yosem had, that he didn't take the title king until Uzziyahu actually passed away. Until then, he's only al habayis. He's like in charge of the palace, but not actually taking the title king. So anyway, this marginal note that's inserted in Rashi in the Gemara explains that by Micha, when it says that he was bimei Yosem, doesn't mean Uzziyahu was actually still alive, but it means it was already after he had gotten saras, and Yosem is now running things. But he's choshem to mess, but therefore, nevertheless, but still, yeah. With that said, though, Marsha in Chiddush HaLochus says maybe not necessarily. You could say maybe it means, and when we said Perek Echad, we don't mean, there's a Gemara actually further, rather, was going to say that it means, the Gemara is going to say further that all the Nevi'im, that many of these Nevi'im outlived four kings. Marsha says doesn't really necessarily have to be. Could be that some of them were not all of them does it say that they were in the time of all these four kings. So maybe Taka by Omos in particular, I don't think it mentions the four kings. So maybe then Taka didn't outlive all of them. But the point is all of them were in the time of Uzziyahu and in the time of the parallel king of Yisrael at that time was Yerovam. Not the original Yerovam who made the Egla Azahav, but a later one. We're going to talk about him later in the Gemara. Anyway, so they all said Nevuah during this period. The Gadol Shebekul and Hesheah, the greatest of all these four was Hesheah. In fact, the Rambam, when he gives the Seder HaKabbalah from Moshe Rabbeinu down to Rabashi, he lists Hesheah as the Rebbe of Yeshaya. He actually lists Hesheah as the Rebbe of Omos and Omos as the Rebbe of Yeshaya. I don't remember, but whatever. He puts Hesheah first. Shenemar, as the passage continues, Tchilas Diber Hashem v'Hosheah. The beginning of Hashem's speaking was with Hosheah. You have to ask, what does that mean? V'chim Hosheah Diber Tchila. What does he mean? Is Hosheah the first Navi that Hashem ever spoke to? V'alemim Moshe ad Hosheah. How you come into being? Hosheah lived. He lived in the middle of the first Beis Hamikdash. So from Moshe Rabbeinu's times until his times is around 700 years. There were many Nevi'im during that time. So what's this Tchilas Dibur Hashem? Now, on a Poshta level, what it means is that Rashi mentions over there, and then Rashi actually mentions the beginning of Parashas Bereishis as well, that it means the beginning of Hashem's speech to Hosea was such and such, as it goes on to say. Rashi explains the same way as Bereishis Bora Elikim can be understood to mean at the beginning of Hashem's creation, when the same way you could understand over here, the beginning of Hashem's speech to Hosea was such and such. But here the Gemara wants to find another meaning in it. So Amar Rav Yechanan Tchivala Bar Nevi'im Shnisnabu Boisa Perek means he was the first of the four Nevi'im who said Nevuah during this period. Ve'elohen Hosea v'Yeshaya Amos Micha. Three of them are included in Tirei Yosef, by the way. Yeshaya gets a sefer of his own. Hosea, Amos, and Micha are all included in Tirei Yosef. The Gemara explains, and then they're all placed at the end of Nevi'im. The Gemara in Bava Basra explains, their sforim are all short. Even though they had long careers as Nevi'im, we know the Gemara tells us only Nevuos that were needed for future generations were written down in Tanakh. So the ones of Hosea and Amos and Micha were far less than those of Yeshaya. So therefore, there wasn't enough of them to make a complete book of their own. Therefore, the Gemara says they combined all the Tirei Yosef together and put Chagas, Chaya, Malachi at the end of them, who are the last of the Nevi'im, because otherwise individual small sforim like that might be easily lost. Like this is a substantial size sefer when you include all 12 of them together. Anyway. So what happened? So now the pasuk, when it starts saying Tchilas Dibur Hashem v'Hosheah, says a very odd thing. It says Hashem, the Gemara is going to quote Pesukim later, but to give a recap first. The Eibishter tells Hosheah to go marry an Eishes Znunim and have Yalde Znunim. Which means Hashem is telling him to marry a promiscuous woman, a woman who's into Znus. And the children are going to be Yalde Znunim. It's going to be questionable whether they're really Hosheah's children or not. And Hashem 10, and then as he has the children, Hashem has them named. So it has named them with things that are going to happen to the Jewish people. The question is, what happened before this? All of a sudden, out of the blue, the Eibishter tells him such a thing. We never find the Eibishter saying any such thing to any other Navi. By the way, there are a number of the Rishonim who learn. Yevon Ezra on the Pesukim learns that Rambam learns in Moreh Nevuchim that this was all in a Nevuah. He had a dream of Nevuah where he sees all this happening to him. But here, the Gemara is taking it that it actually happened in real life. So the question is, what happened, but what's the backstory that the Eved is telling them such a thing? By Rachel, yeah, well, so you know what, it's interesting. So you have the Targum often translates Zoyna as Pundakisa, an innkeeper. I think they're adak actually on that pasuk with Rachel says that it's kind of a euphemism. The same way as an innkeeper will sell to anybody, so will a Zoyna. But, nevertheless, I mean, the fact is, the truth is, when you get down to it, a Zoyna does have a very specific meaning in halacha when it comes to the dinim of whom a Kohen is allowed to marry. We know it doesn't even have to be that it's her fault. It could be that it was oynes, and nevertheless, she's still considered a zoyna, as opposed to she could be mufkeres lakol. She could be freely with any man, as long as none of them are anybody who passel her with her beer, then she wouldn't be also to a kohen. So it's true. There are different definitions of zoyna for different purposes. Yes, sometimes taka it means an innkeeper. Sometimes it means the technical definition, like you have in connection with a kohen. And sometimes over here it means partially the promiscuous woman. Yeah. But he's asking in connection with Yeshua. He's asking in connection with Yeshua. When Rachel married her, yeah, the Gemara tells us in Megillah that she became a Geirdus and Yeshua married her. The last time she's ever referred to as Rachel Bazoina is when Yeshua tells the Miraglim, now that the walls of Yericho have fallen, go into the city and get Rachel Bazoina and her family and bring them out here because you promised her that you're going to save her. But after that, I don't think it ever mentions her by that. I don't think Bechlal mentions her after that. Bechlal, I don't think. But anyway. So what happened? Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lo'Hoshea Banechu Chato Yisrael. So Hashem says to Hoshea, your children, the Jewish people, have sinned. Now, Now what Hashem expected Hoshea to say is, what do you mean, Banecha? Banecha Heim. They're your children. Don't just call them my children like you're washing your hands of them. B'nei b'chunecha, they're the children of the ones that you tested, the others. U'chanunecha is another gersa of the ones that you favored. Heim. B'nei Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. Gaugel aleihem midas rachamecha. Roll your midas rachamim on them. In other words, extend more rachamim to them. Don't give up on them. Loi dayesh aleih omakach. Not only did Hashem not say that, Hashem says to Hashem, look, the whole world belongs to you. So exchange them for another nation. The Ebishter does not appreciate that. We know from many examples, another example from that generation is Yeshaya says that the Jewish people are Amtmeis Fasayim, and they end up getting a coal and later on a saw. So yeah, the Ebishter does not like when people speak badly about the Jewish people. I've met many, if not all of us, probably remember, for example, the Sikha of Vasara Batevis Tashin Nun Aleph during the Gulf War when they had the screamed about that, where there was somebody giving a kitzrug on Jews over there, and the Rebbe was So the Eved says to himself, what am I supposed to do with this old man? The Pashtus, we're not calling him old because he really was old. We just mean old as in Zashikon HaChachma, he's a Tamar Chacham. With that said, Marshal says that maybe he actually literally was old because we're going to have further on in the Gemara where, again, you have the suffix whether the children that his wife bears are really his or not. Now, we have a concept in halacha called roiv ve'ilus etzel abal. A married woman, even if we have reason to suspect that she was mizana, we assume that most of the time she had relations with her husband, and therefore the children are his. So all of a sudden here we're talking about a suffix. Marshal says maybe because he was literally a zokin, therefore maybe that chazaka doesn't hold so well. Anyway. So, Ani Omeloi, so the Eved decides, I'm going to tell him, Hoshea, Leich Kachlacha Isha Zoyna, go marry an Isha Zoyna, the Tevel Lacha Bnei Znunim, and she'll give birth to you, the children who may be from Znus, V'achakach Omeloi, Leich V'shalcha Malponer, and then I'm going to tell him, go divorce her. Im Yuchal L'shalcha, if he's able to divorce her, Afani Yashaleach Es Yisrael, and the Eved says, then fine, I'll listen to his Kitzrug, and I'll send away the Jewish people. Which actually, Marashah says, still, Hashem doesn't mean that he's necessarily literally going to follow what Hoshea is saying and exchange the Jewish people for another nation, but he is at least going to hide his face from us. Hester Punt. So, Shenemar says, thus the Pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem al Hoshea, Leich kach lacha ish es nunim v'yalde es nunim v'gamer. So that's the backstory why Hashem gives Hoshea this very strange instruction, is because Hoshea had spoken badly about the Jewish people. By the way, the Abarbanel on the Pasuk makes a very interesting point. He says another way of understanding the words Tchilas Dibur Hashem B'Hoshea, which we just said means that Hoshea was the greatest and first of the Nevi'im of that period. He says another point. he says, now, you have the drasha over here that you have the whole conversation first between Hashem and Hashem, but we don't have to say that on a pshat level. We could say that out of the blue, Hashem all of a sudden comes and tells him, Leich taklacha ishes nuni. You would think, a person would think to himself, is that really a nevuah from Hashem? Is that maybe just something that I dreamt or imagined or whatever? But no, when a Navi receives his nevuah, he says, that Abavanel says, he knows 100% for sure that this is a nevuah. He's got no suffix at all, and therefore he went and did it. So sure enough, so Vayyem Hashem al-Hashem, Lech tach lacha ishas nun of Yaldiz Minim, remember? So, Vayyelach Vayyikach has Gomer Bas Yivloyim. So he went and married a woman named Gomer Bas Yivloyim. And the Gemara interjects to explain why was she called that, or why is it important for us to know her name. So Goymer, why was she called Goymer? Omer Rav Shah called Goymerim Ba. Everybody completed their tithing with her. She was a Zayna. So yeah. Bas Divlayim, why was she called that? I mean, Dibarah Bas Dibarah. She herself had a bad reputation for her znus, and she was the daughter of a woman who also had a bad reputation for znus. So that divlayim, like a double diva. Diva means, that means speaking badly. Actually, Rashi explains in Parshas Vayeshev that diva doesn't necessarily mean bad speech. It just means speech. But what are you talking about them? The kind of thing you'd be talking about her and her mother is not such a favorable thing. Tchilas Divrei Hashem, that would be the first of its kind, maybe. I don't know. The Gemara is not doubting that, and I didn't see anybody who doubts Shemzayim. Anyway, Shmuel Amar Shemesuka B'fiyakoyo K'dveila. Shmuel says a different reason. The word dveila means a dried fig, or a dried date, which is very sweet. So she was a sweet to everybody, and when they were having znus with her, like a dveila. So that's another reason she was called Bas Divlayim. Rabbi Yochanan Ramashah called Doshin Bakadvela. Rabbi Yochanan points out another thing as well. How do you dry a Dvela? Is you tread on it. You press it. You play, like you have the Igulei Dvela that I talked about all over the place in Gemara, where you press these dried figs together the same way everybody pressed on her in Znus. Anyway, so the name Gomer Bas Divlayim in short represents what kind of person she was. Dovracher, then another explanation, is the name Gomer is not referring to her own to her own characteristics, but rather to what was going on in her times with the Jewish people. Amr of Yehuda Shabikshu Ligmar Mamonim Shayisrael B'Yameh, the Goyim who were attacking the Jewish people in her times, wanted to finish off all the money of the Jewish people and take everything they had. And Rabbi Yechanan, the bosses of Gomer, not just they wanted to, they actually did. Shenema, as you find in a Pasuk, now this Pasuk is actually in the times of Yehoyachaz, who was the grandfather of the Yeravam that we talked about before. Hoshea's Nevuah started during the times of Yeravam. His grandfather, one of the Malchei Yisrael, was named Yehoyachaz, and in his times, the Pasuk says, Ki Ibda Melech Aram, the king of Aram, had nearly destroyed the Jewish people by Yisimim Ka'ofer Ladush. He made them like dust that's trodden on. That's how bad the Jewish people were off in his times. So therefore, Rav Yochanan says, not just that they were planning to take everything the Jews had, they pretty much did. Later on, now, the Pasuk goes on to mention that later on, the Eidosh had Rachmanus on the Jewish people and their fortunes improved under Yehoyachaz' successors. So maybe the vote is, maybe she was born during that time and her parents named her that because of what's going on with the Jewish people. I don't know. So the Pasuk continues in Hesheya, Batah, Batel of Leibain. She became pregnant. She gave birth to him to a son. Vayirma Hashem Elov, and Hashem says to Hesheya, Kroshmo Yisrael. Name the son Yisrael. Why Yisrael? Ki oid ma'at, in just a little while, ufokadtias dmei Yisrael abes Yehu. I will remember and I will punish the family of Yehu for the blood of Yisrael. So to understand that, we have to go back a couple of generations. Yerovam is the fourth generation of his family to be, of his dynasty, to be a king of the Aseres HaShevatim. His great-grandfather, Yehu, a Navi, Elisha had sent Yonah HaNavi to anoint him and to tell him his job is to get rid of the entire family of Ahav and all the Avodah Zarah that they had brought into Eretz Yisrael. And Yehu did the job very, very well, as the Pesukim describe over there. So in particular, there was Yisrael is a place in the north of Eretz Yisrael. Ahav had a palace over there, and the Pesukim describe over there how Yehu killed many members of Ahav's family there in Yisrael. Emek Yisrael, right, is the valley over there. And then there's a city, Yisrael, where it mentions Ahav had a palace over there. Next door to his palace was Nabos's vineyard, and you have the whole story over there. So yeah. Anyway, the point is, Yehu, even though he got rid of all the Baal and Asherah and everything that Achav had brought into Eretz Yisrael, he did keep the Eglei HaZahav of Yerov. So he was told by the Navi, because you did a good job getting rid of Achav's family, therefore four generations of your family will get to be kings of the Jewish people, or four generations after you, which is to say, your great-great-grandson will be the last one. But the point is that nevertheless, still, because of the Eglei HaZahav, the Eved started making that now they get defeated over and over by Aram until we have the point that we said before, that they were by Simon Ka'ofel Ladush, where they were almost like the dirt being trodden. So now Hashem is saying, years later, that I'm going to remember against Yehu all that blood that he spilled in Israel and punish them for that. Now, you have to ask why. I mean, he did what the Eved was telling him to do. But the fact is, Rashi mentions over there, because in the end, he still kept the Eglei HaZahav, which means he didn't do the job completely. Therefore, the Eved counts it against him, not as though he did it l'shem shamayim, but rather as though he did it sam for his own greatness in order to become king, and therefore he and his family deserve punishment for that. So therefore, that's why the baby should be named Yisrael. Marshall also adds the point that, which is relevant over here, that now the Posit goes on to mention afterwards, the Gemara is not quoting the entire all the Psukim over here, it's skipping around a bit, but it does mention that afterwards Hashem continues, Vishbati Mamluchus Beis Yisrael. Actually, it says right here in the Gemara, yeah. Ufakati is Mei Yisrael Beis Yisrael. Vishbati Mamluchus Beis Yisrael. I will cause the kingship of the Jewish people to cease. Now, in fact, you had Yerobam, who was king when Hoshea started saying these nevuas. Eventually, he passed away, and he had a son, Zechariah, who took over as king and ruled for 6 months until somebody assassinated him, somebody named Shalom ben Yavish. The kingship continued to last for another 50 or so years after that. But nevertheless, Yehu and his dynasty were the last ones that were appointed by another. After that, in fact, the Yerushalmi has an expression like that, all the ones after that, from Shalom ben Yavish and onward, are really, they have just the status of robbers in Halacha. They're not even considered legitimate kings. So therefore, so in that sense, it can correctly be said that the Mamluchus Beis Yisrael is going to be gone once Yerobam, once Yehu and his dynasty are gone. Anyway, so that was the first child. Then the pasuk continues, Vatahar oy batelet bas. Then Goimer became pregnant again and gave birth to a daughter. Vayomer lekrosh moch lo ruchama. Hashem tells him, and by the way, the name Yisrael also has another meaning as well. It also means a gzera against the Jewish people that they're going to be scattered in Golus. Yisrael, Meloshin Zora, they're going to be scattered like seeds in Golus. So that's the first gzera because of this kiftur of Hoshea, that now the Eved is pronouncing this gzera against the Jewish people and telling Hoshea to name his first child after that. Then, Goimer has a daughter. Hashem tells him, name her Loi Ruchama, ki Loi Oisif Oid Arachem Es Beis Yisrael, because no longer will I have Rachmanus on the Jewish people. Hashem is saying, should I continue to forgive them? It's like a rhetorical question. So therefore, Loi Ruchama. So this is the Gzeira that the Eved is saying he's not going to have Rachmanus on the Jewish people. Vatar oed vatelet bain, then the psukim say, she became pregnant again, she gave birth to a son, vayomer, and Hashem tells Hoshea, kroshmoy loy ami, name this son loy ami, ki atem loy ami begoimer, because Hashem says, you're not my people, and I'm not going to be your Eved. So these are three gzeiras that Hashem made against the Jewish people. By the way, Mephoshim on the Psukim explain, the Abinel, the Malbim talk about the significance of why Dafka, a son, a daughter, and another son. It represents the strength of Malchus Yisrael, like a strong boy, and then the relative weakness of the kings after that, who are more like a daughter, and then the strength of Malchus Yehuda after that, that still continued to last for another 100-odd years after that. So therefore, it's in that order, and they talk about it in some detail about the deeper significance of all of this. Anyway, eventually, after he had these two sons and a daughter, and Iyun Yaakov points out, now he was L'chola Alma Yotze Piri Verivya, because you have the Machloikas Vishama Vishillel, whether you need two, Vishama holds two sons, Vishillel holds a son and a daughter, now he's got two boys and a girl, so he's Yotze in a matter of according to everybody. So now Hashem says to Hoshea, Loi hoy l'chol lumen mi Moshe Rabcha, shouldn't you learn from your Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the Rebbe of all the Nevi'im? Once I started speaking with him, he separated from his wife. You also should be distancing yourself from your wife. Marashot points out why the Loshon told it Pirish by Moshe and Bedoil by Hoshea, and he says because Bedoil is like Hamavdol ben Kodesh L'chol. So look, by Moshe, there's nothing wrong with Tzipora, just he needs to constantly be ready for Nevuah, so therefore he needs to separate from her, but not actually divorce her, per se. As opposed to Hashem is saying to Hoshea, look, your wife is after us 14 Isha Zona. So what are you doing? Married to such a woman, divorce her altogether, get rid of her. You, as a as an Ish Kodesh, don't belong with such a person. Hashem told him, "Apoya modi modi," and Moshe made. So Moshe made a kavachomer. That Moshe made a kavachomer. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos that the Jewish people had to be out to Shul Isha for 3 days before Matan Torah, and I'm constantly on call to Hashem. Yeah, but he still didn't have to divorce her per se. Marsha was saying he only had to be pirish. So you should do that. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Bedoil, Meloshin Divine, could be. It's interesting, perhaps, yeah. Omer Lefano, but Hoshea says, Rebbeinu Shalom, Yeshli Bonim Hemena, Ve'eni Yocholoi Tzio V'Gasha. I have children with her, so I can't divorce her and send her away. What does that mean? Is he disobeying Hashem? So first, Marsha explains that he's saying, if I divorce her, then it's going to be a pogam on my children. People are going to say, you know why he's divorcing her? Because he knows for a fact that these aren't his children. It would be a pogam to say that on them. Ben Yoyada says that Hashem is not saying I'm going to disobey you, Hashem. Of course he's going to obey whatever Hashem tells him. He's telling him, Hashem, you're asking why I didn't learn from her until now, from Moshe until now, because I figured I have children from her and therefore I can't. But if you tell me to, then of course I'm going to listen. It was by command of Hashem, but now he said the fact is, it was Yalbez Nunim, the fact is it's a suffix by each one, whether they're his children or not. So now if he divorces her, it's gonna strengthen that suffix, it's gonna strengthen that lies, yeah. No idea. The fact remains, by the way, the Malbim points out on the Pesukim, when you get down to it, it's not like there's any Isser in Halacha, but again, a Kohen is also to marry a Zona Kohen, she is not a Kohen, but yeah. Anyway, you don't even know but these children are really yours and from others, and it's like that you can't bear to divorce her and to bring a laws on them. Yisrael, Shane Bonai, the Jewish people are attacking my children. Bnei Bechunai, they're the sons of the ones that I tested. Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. One of the four special things that I acquired in my world. And Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, you have five, but here the Gemara is leaving out, Avraham. Pashtus, because we're talking about the Jewish people, so it's not really relevant to mention Avraham in particular. Marsha points out that actually in older Gemaras, you find that only there were only three of them. The Beis Hamikdash was also skipped. Anyway. Torah Kinyan Echad Minayin, they are Torah Shemayim Ba'orot Beis Hamikdash V'Yisrael. Torah Kinyan Echad, how do we know the Torah is considered a special possession of Hashem? Minayin, Dichtiv Hashem Kononi Reishis Darkei, Hashem acquired me at the beginning of his way, this is the Torah speaking, Kedem Mif'olam Me'oz, before all of his works all the way back then, that's the Torah, Alpayim Shana Kodma Torah Lo'olam. Shemayim va'aretz kinyan echad minayin dechtiv koine shemayim va'aretz. We find where Malki Tzedek gives Avraham a bracha in the name of koine shemayim va'aretz, which the point is, Marsha says, since shemayim va'aretz themselves were created for the sake of Avraham, al tukri bihi borom el ba'Avraham, therefore, we can say, therefore, the bracha to Avraham, koine shemayim va'aretz, means that it includes Avraham as well. Beis Mikdash Kinyan Echad Minayin Dechtiv Chauzek Konse Yemino, the mountain of the Harabayis that Hashem's right hand acquired. Yisro Kinyan Echad Minayin Dechtiv Amzu Kanisa, the nation that you acquired. So the Jewish people are special to me. Va'at Amrita Avinim Be'uma Acheres, you Hoshea were saying exchange them for another nation? Once Hoshea realized that he had done wrong, his chamavakash rachim malatzmi, he starts davening for rachim that the Eibishter should forgive him. Never mind davening for yourself. I made three harsh gzeiros of golus and of saying that I won't have rachmanus and of saying they're not my people, I'm the Jewish people because of you. So therefore, he stood up and davened for Rachmim for the Jewish people, and he was mevatel those zeres, the hischol of Berchon, and therefore in the next parak of Hoshea, he starts with giving them a bracha. why, now Maharsha points out, not that the Gzeiros were completely bottle, after all, Golosin eventually came true. What it means is it was bottle for that generation. One possibility is it was bottle for that generation. We find that it says in the times of Yeravam that Hashem saved the Jewish people, even though, like we said, Aram nearly destroyed them, but Be'evish had Rachmanus on them, and Yeravam ended up saving them during his kingship, so that was Be'evish delayed the punishment. Or it could mean that's bottle lo osid lover, that right, those zedas will happen, but there will be a bittle for them eventually. Shenema, as the passage says, v'hoya mispa b'nei yisrael k'chol ayam asher la yimad b'lo yisafer, the Jewish people's number will be like the sand of the sea that can't be measured or counted. V'hoya, and it'll be bimkoim, in the same place that asher ya'om alahem lo yami atem, where until then it was said of them, they're not my people, ya'om alahem b'nei keil choy, they'll be said on them, they're the sons of the living God. So therefore, that zera of loy ami is bottled. The nikbats of b'nei Yehuda will go on, and he continues that b'nei Yehuda and b'nei Yisrael will all be gathered together out of Golos. And at the end of the perek, after the pasuk that we had before, tikri ishi, like tikri loy bali, which again is why the Gemara brought this whole thing, he finishes off with zatia liba aref. I'll plant Jewish people for me in Eretz Yisrael. So that's undoing the zera of Golos represented by the name Yisrael. Now the name Yisrael is turning into a positive sense, Yisrael, but Hashem will replant us in Eretz Yisrael. V'richamtias loy ruchama. I'll have rachmanus on the one that has been said until now not to have rachmanus on. V'amauti loy ami ami. And I'll say to the one that it was said, you're not my people, will be said that you're my people. So therefore, so in the schus of Hosea's tefillah, the Ebishter canceled all these three gzeiros, and that therefore that's Hosea's next nevuah that you have in Perek Beis of his sefer. By the way, I mean in that connection, the Malbim makes the point that originally Hosea was saying, I give up on them. I'm not only am I going to say Hashem, you should just exchange them for another nation. I'm not even going to give them Musa. Why should I bother? So now, after all this, now you have, at the beginning of Perek Beis, he starts saying, etc., and all these brachas. Then he starts with the Tosafot, Rivu Be'imchan Rivu, and he goes on for a dozen, with a dozen psukim over there of harsh nevuahs on the Jewish people, but there at least he's giving them musar, he's telling them shape up, so that all of this doesn't have to happen. Then at the end, he goes back to the brachas. So that's the flow of the psukim over there. Yem Yem Mashiach Ogola. Your Beis Tishrei. So the complete concept of Tara will be by the Gula Amitis Vashlema, but as it says in the Pasuk, Zarakti Aleichem Mayim Torah Matartem, that Hashem will sprinkle Paradrum water on us and will be cleansed. We have a Me'ein, a preparation for that, also Bizman HaGolus, when Kohenim are careful for Minyanei Tumah. That's also, beside the fact that you have it's a mitzvah in the Torah, but it's also a preparation for the complete Tara that will be La'osid Lavi. Continuing with halachas of Shabbos, even if a person has a lot of help around the house, a lot of maids or what have you, he should still do something himself to cover Shabbos to honor it. We find various amiroim. We find Rav Chista would slice up vegetables very small. Rabbah and Rav Yosef would chop wood. By the way, even though Rav Yosef is blind, Rav Zera would light the fire. Rav Nachman would sweep the house and bring in the kalim that he needs for Shabbos and remove the weekday kalim. So therefore, a person should not say that it would be a bizoyin to my kovod. It's a kovod for a person to honor Shabbos. This was, by the way, also in Daf Yomi a couple of days ago. The Gemara mentioned in connection with the fact of mitzvah bo yosim b'shlochay. The Alter Rebbe, in fact, makes a point with that even you have, for example, all these amiroyim, they're learning Torah full time. What happened to the idea that if you have a mitzvah that could be done al yedei acherim, then you're not mevatel talmud Torah for it? The Alter Rebbe says that's just it. Part of the mitzvah is to do it yourself, and therefore, in that sense, that aspect of it can't be done al yedei acherim. Therefore, you have to do it yourself. Another din is that people bake bread with covered Shabbos. So even if people eat pas akum during the week, at least on Shabbos, you should eat pas Yisrael. But even if during the week you always eat pas Yisrael anyway, there's still a point to bake and to bake a little covered Shabbos so that the wife can make time in the mitzvah of Afrosh Eschala. Because Adam Rishon was created on Erev Shabbos. The Medrash says he was the Chala of the world. And then, because Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, and that caused it to be destroyed, therefore it's particularly the woman who has the mitzvah of fixing that up. You make three size challahs. You make a middle size one for the night meal, a larger one for the day meal, because kvod hayom odif. The Gemara explains that the kvod of the daytime meal should be greater, even though when it comes to kiddush, you have kiddush by night is daraisa and by day is not. But when it comes to the kvod to the meal, it should be bigger and better by the day than by the night. And the smallest one would be for challah shuvos.
Change the name.
Did he change the names of kids after the Xeris? I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know.